from our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida. You are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
All right. What's going on, everybody? This is Eric Rivera from The Striking Corner. And as always, I am joined by my good friend, Vinny Scotto. What's going on, Vin?
Hi.
Yeah, man. So here we are with another episode of The Striking Corner podcast. And this one is brought to you by our good friends at Black Widow MMA. They are at 2007 Kramer Lane, Suite 101 in Austin, Texas. That is zip code C78758. They are owned by Bitsy Esparza, and the coach there is Jorge Castañeda. They have programs for Muay Thai. Their programs are Muay Thai ages 8 and up. So make sure you guys check them out. That is Black Widow MMA, and thank you for sponsoring this episode. Thank you to them. Guys, you can always catch us on social media.
And also, before you go on, just thank you to Matt Sadowski from Black Widow for reaching out to us for the sponsorship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and there it is. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Sadowski for the gym sponsorship. Gym shout out. Remember, guys, you can sponsor episodes of The Striking Corner. You know, we're trying to do this to promote different gyms that are Muay Thai and obviously Muay Thai focused in America, and, you know, get your name out there on the podcast. It helps us, helps you. Check us out at info@strikingcorner for those sponsorship shout outs. They're $25 a piece per episode. And besides that, guys, you can always catch us on social media. At Striking Corner is our Instagram, at Striking Corner on Twitter, and also at Striking Corner on Facebook. Also, our website is www.strikingcorner.com. That is where you can find all of our episodes, aside from obviously iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, everywhere podcasts are found, you can find us. And if you are also on iTunes and listening to us through there, please, guys, remember to leave a comment and leave a rating. Your ratings and your comments actually help us rise up in the ranks of podcasts within the large library that is iTunes. So you guys definitely help us out there with a rating and a comment. So thank you very much for that, for those that you have done it. And if you haven't, please just stop by and drop us a line. It really helps us out. Besides that, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at @EricRivera_TSC. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you, man?
Join me in my quest for 10,000 followers on Instagram, which is at Vinny Scotto.
Alrighty. All right. So without further ado, guys, we actually have a very special guest on the podcast. He's a good friend of ours. He is the guy that I mentioned was the proverbial pain in my ass, the guy who is trying to, stay on top of me, sticking to my workout routine, which has I've disappointed him. I have been unsuccessful in doing so.
You have failed
miserably.
Amazingly.
Yeah, I have failed miserably, and in his eyes, I have disappointed him, and I am so sorry for that. But we have him on the show, and also I wanted to give a shout out, a really big shout out to him, because we actually had another guest lined up for today, but that person was unfortunately could not get on the podcast because something else came up, and he was basically not able to do it. And Matt Lucas, all the way from Thailand, jumped in a pinch. You know, when we needed him, he was a clutch player. So we really appreciate that from him, and we'll be with him in just 1 second.
The Striking Corner.
All right, everybody. So as we had mentioned earlier, the guy that I mentioned to you guys in last week's podcast, the proverbial pain in my ass, that is Matt Lucas. Not really that much anymore. He's given up on me. So here we have him, my good friend Matt Lucas, all the way from Thailand. What's going on, man?
not much. Getting the day started. I'm in Bangkok now. Going to head out to Pattaya in a little bit.
True. So you're doing, I know you're doing social media for Fairtex now. Are you doing it out of Pattaya?
Yeah. So right now I have a room in Pattaya. It's right next to Fairtex. So I stay at the gym. I'm there 4 or 5 days a week. And then my lady lives in Bangkok, so I commute back and forth. When she misses me, she like calls and hollers, and I go run and see her. And then when she's sick of me, she tosses me back to Pattaya.
Oh, okay. So you're just a booty call.
Who wouldn't want Matt Lucas as a booty call, though?
This is true, man. This is true. So, you know, Matt, I know you're out there. You're doing a lot of, you know, one thing that we wanted to discuss, we were discussing it off air right now, was Matt recently came to New York. Maybe what was it, like a couple months ago?
It was
December, right?
November. Yeah, early December.
Yeah. So, Matt, you've been in Thailand for how long now?
It's 3.5 years now, straight that I've lived here. Mm-hmm. But I've taken multiple trips over, trained and fought, and so in total, I've probably spent about 4 years or so out here.
Yeah. So I know when you were here, you went out, you were at Vinny's gym in Staten Island for a little bit. Then you were, you know, talking to a lot of people, training with different people when you were here, when you were in the States. And you had some really interesting stuff to say about, you know, the growth of the sport in America compared to like when you left the United States and moved to Thailand full time and then coming back and kind of seeing how things are going on in the States now. And then I know we recently, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, like maybe 2 weeks ago, we had Janet Todd, you know, the great Janet Todd, who's done so much, doing so much for American Muay Thai, as, you know, putting her face out there and doing a phenomenal job, really. Her style is so great. She fought on one championship against a very tough fighter. So you've written a lot of great things. I mean, I should mention you are a great writer as well. You've done a lot of writing I love you. Even though we hate each other, I love you, you know. So, but, you know, you've written a lot of stuff about the comparison between Muay Thai, what it was, I guess, when you left and how it is now, or American Muay Thai, the growth of it, how you see it. And you have sort of a foreign perspective over in Thailand as well, seeing it locally there. So what do you think about this growth of Muay Thai here in America? And you're living in the place where it is all from, and you're pretty much absorbed by Muay Thai all the time. So how did you see American Muay Thai now?
I mean, it's definitely growing. I think the USMF, IFMA stuff, has really sort of organized things and pushed in a very positive direction. It's headed by really great people that are building a lot of the infrastructure stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's one of the big problems with America is there's too many gaps in the levels. Mm-hmm. So there's not enough like very, very low level fights. There's not enough mid level fights, and there's basically no high level fights.
Yeah.
So people's like understanding of the levels is just very messed up. So if you sort of think of it in terms of like C, B, and A class, you know, a smoker is the equivalent to fighting out in the country. Out here in Thailand and in Isan, or maybe a Bangla fight, you know, a country fight.
Is that where you just got the black eye you have? Is that where you got it from, out in the country?
Yeah, I did. I fought out in Rayong for 2,000 baht, so for about $60, which is totally a country level fight.
Nice. So you basically paid a young kid $60 for a shiner. Is that what it is?
I made $60.
Oh, that's right. You got paid $60 to get punched in the face.
And I got a shiner. It was like a bonus.
Nice, nice. But you were saying a mid-level fight over there. So, you know, those are like a smoker here kind of thing, or not?
So the mid, Well, the mid-level fights out here are probably the high-level fights in America.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
You know, like Lion Fight is maybe the same as a mid-level fight out here.
Mm-hmm. And what would you is Max considered a mid-level fight in Thailand?
Yeah, basically. You know, I love Max, obviously. It's very important for the sport. The way it's structured is for entertainment. So the matchups are not going to always be super high level. Mm-hmm. It's more technical brawls where they want a lot of action. Mm-hmm. In high level fights, sometimes you'll get guys that are too good for each other. So they end up stalemating each other too much. And the matchups aren't necessarily that great.
Right. And where are the high level fights? I assume are in the stadiums we all know pretty much.
So the highest level fights are stadiums, and then at one championship.
Gotcha.
One championship, I would say, has the peak level fights right now. So if we go from the bottom up, we would say Isan, like Country Fights, Bangla, somewhere around max level, entry level at the stadiums. Mm-hmm. Then you go top level stadiums. Then the international fights like Kunlun, Top King. Like it gets a little murky sometimes because like the higher levels of those are about the same as some levels of Raja Demnon. And then you go to like one championship.
Yeah.
I think a good way of thinking about it is in terms of pay, like how much money are you making? And that's a good indicator of how like skilled and how important the fight is.
Nice. No, I mean, that's definitely some good info for people, you know, that are listening right now and trying to understand, I mean, how we are, I guess, or what they're watching here in America is in comparison to the levels in Thailand. You know, so, I mean, when you watch fights here, so you've seen the fights here, you know, the Lion fights, Glory is not really Muay Thai, but I'm just saying. So when you look at here, like, where would you put the level at for American Muay Thai? And I mean, I know some fighters are more than others, but would you say it's definitely, obviously you said that it's getting better, but you're still saying what, where the guys that we're fighting are still very mid-tier? The things we're fighting are still very mid-tier?
I would say like most of our best fighters are still pretty mid-tier. Mm-hmm. You know, like some of the best guys, like Ong Yin Topic, he's a great fighter. I would say he's like, you know, A-minus level. He's doing very well at one, mm-hmm. but he's not really broken into the stadium quite yet. And I would say by far, he's one of our best guys. Janet showed she could hang with an A-level female fighter, but she didn't win the fight. She obviously needed to make some adjustments. I think in a little while, she could, if she fought a few more times, she could have won that fight, mm-hmm. but to me that showed she's not quite at Stamps level and at that sort of top of the peak level.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question. Where is IFMA in all this? Like when you think about worlds, you know, cause mm-hmm. when we think about worlds, you know, the U.S. team just did really well in Pan Americans, you know, when you have people like Selena Flores, you have, you know, for the women, you have Selena Flores, great fighter as well. You have Janet Todd. For the men, you know, you have guys like Asa, although Asa's right now in Glory, but he's also fought in the USMF. You know, when you look at those USMF level, is that in Thailand? How is that looked at? Is that, I know there's high level guys fighting in IFMA in Thailand. A lot of the high level guys go in there, but what do they mm-hmm. see it as? Do they see it as a training session? Do they see it as the real deal? Like, how do they see it?
I mean, I think they see it as a real deal, but they don't necessarily take it with the same amount of seriousness that other countries and other places do. Thailand basically floods especially when it's out here in Thailand, they flood IFMA with like all the weight classes. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, and they actually do organizing competitions to get onto the national team to compete in IFMA. So you'll have like the low level fight, then a low level qualifier, a qualifier, and then you're on the team. Then you fight in IFMA. Mm-hmm. And they do that for every single weight class.
Gotcha.
So it's like a bit of a process to get onto the team. And then, but I would still say that because there's not a lot of money in it, it's not necessarily seen as like super high value.
Gotcha.
So but maybe not high value, but what about the level of fighters?
What would you compare that to? Yeah, so I would say the level of TIE fighters is pretty good. I would not always say it's like the top, the highest tier. You know, like Super Bon, he fought a few years ago in IFMA, but I don't think he's not going to do it now.
Yeah.
I would say he's an A-class fighter, you know. Gotcha. So you have...
And he did destroy everybody he fought there. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Or Yadvica, he fought last year, right?
Yeah, Yadvica, yeah. He fought at the Mexico one, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you definitely have, like, those A-level guys, but it's not always – it's not all of them, mm-hmm. and it's just, like, some of them. So I would say it's a mix.
Gotcha.
So you're being that you're getting a little bit more active in fighting. Are you going to try out for the team this year?
I think I'm getting a pass on that. I'm part of the cheerleading squad for July 2019.
Yeah.
The after bout corner man with the warm beer.
That's definitely what the, you know, the coaching staff needs, bro.
Well, I will be after there. So
emotional labor of coddling all the Americans that lose.
Oh, damn.
But more importantly, are you going to welcome me with a beer when I arrive in Thailand?
Debatable.
Debatable? What kind of shit is that, man?
It depends on how friendly you are to my arch nemesis, Eric. Man, or...
I got to make my way over there so that he can... Oh, man. All right, so I mean, it's cool to hear all that stuff when it comes to the breakdown of Muay Thai, and I mean, you had some things. I think you had some interesting things recently with Janet Todd. Obviously, you wrote, and I think we all you know watched that fight. And I'll be honest. And Vinny was giving me kind of shit a little bit because I was being a little negative at the beginning of the fight. I was just worried. I mean, I was just like, you know, because Stamp obviously has the experience. She has that experience being at that type of level. And I was worried because I mean, even though Janet's fought at IFMA and at high level shows, I didn't feel like she was gonna, I kind of felt like, oh my God, is she gonna get like just destroyed, you know? Cause I mean, Stamp is just also looks really fucking strong, you know? But then I was really, really pleasantly surprised. And not to say that I was pleasantly surprised because Janet is never, she doesn't have a good style. I've always loved her style. Her Muay Thai is just so on point, you know, which is kudos to Popejoy, who's an incredible coach and somebody that we've had on the podcast as well. And I just was really surprised by how well she did. I you know, at the same time, there were obviously, like you said, there are adjustments to be made. There are certain things, you know, it's kind of funny. Patrick Rivera, who's a good friend of ours and we've had him on, he brought it up and he was saying it almost looked like Stamp fought more of like the American fighter and Janet fought a little bit more of the Thai style. Cause Stamp was really going for a lot of, you know, throwing those hands and really trying to hurt Janet a lot, especially, you know, fighting with the smaller gloves. But Janet did a really good job adjusting and you know, the dominant position, obviously she was getting positions in the clinch, but I feel like that's where everything was getting neutralized. But and if you look at Muay Thai and it's kind of scored on damage and sometimes on the aggression, I really felt like I did feel like Stamp was edging her out there. But you know, how did you see the fight? You're a lot more well versed in looking at these Muay Thai fights being with Max.
After that comment you just made, I'm really happy that our next episode is with JJ, one of the head judges for the USMF, because it's really not scored on
damage and aggression. So,
well, no, I'm just saying, maybe that's what I would, that's how I look at it sometimes, man. So,
well, you're an asshole.
So. that point is definitely not debatable. everything else, scoring, you know, all these other issues, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Like being an asshole, I think that's a universal.
That's a universal constant right now. But yeah, man. So
it's good to have something constant in our ever-changing lives too.
There's yeah, going on. There's always something you can latch on. I'm like, my assholeness is pretty much like the totem that the characters used in the movie Inception. It kind of lets you stay grounded in reality.
Because one championship is a relatively new organization, I do think that they're using an international scoring system.
But what exact? Because I feel like there could be so many different international scoring systems.
Yeah.
So which one is it?
Yeah, they've made their own.
Okay.
And I feel like there's still some inconsistencies with the way that they score.
Do you know what their criteria is?
Yeah, they lay it out in their brochure or pamphlet every time they have an event, but I don't have it right now. But it's more or less, I believe it's damage based. I would need to look at it again. What's that?
I said that Vinny's like, I was told him, I got that one right, you fuck. But I know, because it does vary from event to event, and you know, like that's what I'm saying. But with one, I just feel like that's what they must have been looking at, because she kept on throwing those hands, like she knew that was what was going to score for her.
Yeah, I mean, Stamp fought pretty smart. You know, she, especially in the early rounds, catching Janet's kicks and really throwing that right hand, you know, messing up Janet's face. Janet did very well, especially in the later rounds. I felt like she got more comfortable, started scoring more.
Well, see, the way I saw it is I felt like, in the earlier rounds, what it looked like to me, like Janet, it looked like Janet gave her too much respect.
Because I would agree with that.
As the rounds went on, she started, again, getting more comfortable. It was the first time she ever fought in those gloves. So she started picking up the pace and really showcasing her technique. Mm-hmm. If she would have fought, I feel like she could have won that fight if she would have went into every round the way she went into round five.
Yeah, but I think that really...
I agree with that.
Yeah. But some people are also saying, oh, but Stamp was sitting back in round five because she knew she had the fight won. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that, because it looked like she wasn't sitting back. She was just getting picked apart in the fifth round.
Yeah.
I mean, Stamp would definitely, she was like, oh, it was the hardest fight I've ever had. And I think she picked up some damage in the later rounds. So I think she was not as excited about engaging. Mm-hmm. I know that she hurt her leg early on, so which made it more difficult for her to kick. But, you know, I thought overall, I thought it was a great fight. It was like exactly what I wanted to happen. Stamp, who, you know, I obviously support the most because she's attached to my workplace, won. And then Janet, who I've been a longtime fan of and supporter, performed very, very well on the international stage and showed that, you know, with good coaching, good management, and a lot of hard work, in 4 to 6 years, you can basically go from a shitty, like, smoker level fighter to the top of the world.
No, but when
good
I was
choice, good choice of words, man.
So I'm just hoping that in 40,
you were, no, 46, I think he, I think what he was trying to say was shitty smokers, not a shitty fighter that does smokers.
Yeah.
But what?
So where do you think you'll be in 4 to 6 years, Matt, in your fight career?
I think I might be at the same place. Actually, I have the good looks. I have the marketability. You know. I obviously have all the charisma I just totally lack in the hard work department.
Me and you both.
Next time the right eye will have the black eye.
The left eye.
Oh, it looks like your right eye to me. You're backwards on the camera.
Yeah.
I think, you actually might be right. I can't tell the difference between my right and left.
Oh man, but you know what I was thinking is going back to Janet Todd's fight, and I think what you said is true. You guys were talking about it with the experience level. I think maybe, you know, like you said, Vin, I think she respected her a lot. But and that's where I go back to experience. I think what it was is that's why I was kind of worried, because I was feeling like Janet has never been on a stage that big on TV. Like, you know, it's one championship, which right now obviously carries such a huge name with it. The gloves, the name, that the person that she was standing across from. I think it took Janet a couple of rounds to realize, oh, this isn't so bad. And when she got in there, maybe it was those initial butterflies, that adrenaline dump. But once she got in there and she realized, oh, shit, I can actually hang with this girl, even though she's high level. Then you could see, we saw the Janet that we know start doing what she could do. And you're right, Matt. I honestly think if she does a couple more of those at that level where she's more comfortable now, Janet's somebody to basically keep your eye on. I mean, she's been for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Michael, I talked to Michael Chiavello a little, a bit ago, and he mentioned a lot of times fighters will come out and get a bit starstruck for their initial bouts on ONE. It's the production value for out there is just insane. Yeah. It's a lot of lights. It's a lot of spectacle. I think, you know, even for the best fighters, it sort of gets to them.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Well, especially when you're first time on that stage, you're fighting for a title.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a big deal, and I don't think that...
And you're the main event.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Janet has gotten a lot of press before, but it's still sort of low-level press. It's like, I feel like ONE Championship really has a very active press machine, so getting all that attention even beforehand is a lot. You know, they do a pretty legit job of having open workouts and having tons of people with tons of cameras around. So, you know, those things can sort of get to a fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's kind of what I felt. That's where I think what we saw, like, it seems like as it dragged on and she got more comfortable realizing, you know, it wasn't so bad anymore, or that all that sort of stuff went out the window, which, you know, happens when you're in the fight. She got comfortable, and she, you know, we saw her do her best work. And
you said that already.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is there were a lot of people who said that if the fight went on,
same thing again.
Yeah. Which I happen to do a lot. I talk in circles. These fucking, man, you guys together, this is going to be an issue,
man. We should work on that, Eric. We're going to make a list of 2019 goals.
which I will commit to, man.
He already fucked that up because he made his own list and didn't stick to it.
Yeah, I didn't make a list. I made one. I mentioned one thing, dude.
And if you can't stick to one, imagine a list.
I know. I'm terrible. Yeah. But I'm like Matt. Like, you know, he was talking about how he has the good looks. He's got the charisma. The only thing is...
Debatable.
It's only one thing that's not debatable.
Yeah, there's no hard work going on for you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. So I wanted to go to. So I know you do a lot of work with Max. And I've been interested with Max. Max Muay Thai. You know, you're saying it's a lot of mid-level stuff. They're pushing for more of. You said they're pushing more for entertainment and aggression. It's not necessarily always the highest level bouts, but they're trying to get, you know, the guys that they know that'll put on a show. I mean, how long have you been with Max now? I know you're with Rob and
yeah, I've been there for 3 years now.
Okay.
So I've been working there every week, commentating the fights for 3 years, a little over 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's I feel like there's basically two sort of strands or directions that Muay Thai in Thailand is going. There's Muay Thai stadiums. So that's where you have like a lot of the gamblers and what you would say as like the traditional style of scoring. Mm-hmm. And then you have Muay Thai as entertainment, which is still like real bouts, but the scoring is going to be different. Because it's televised, they want a lot of action. Gotcha. And because the viewership base is more casual, they want a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. So they want very evenly matched bouts that are exciting. So the judges will always bring the fighters together to clash. At the stadiums, most of the audience is going to be gamblers or people really into the sport. Mm-hmm. So the criteria for how the matchups are is different.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so are there people that are gambling in at max like they do in the stadium?
There is some. It's not a lot, and it does not impact the sort of overall atmosphere and the matchups. I feel like at the stadiums, the gamblers have a lot more sway. Okay.
They basically control it.
You know, I would not necessarily say that. I would not disagree with it either.
Yeah.
Well, pick one.
Just like I don't know enough to confirm that.
Got it.
That statement.
Yeah.
I would say that I understand your assumption. I am not sure that I agree or disagree with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You're being very vague, man. You're being very cryptic right now.
Well, big things coming from Muay Thai.
Oh, man. This is the thing. So you've been there for 3 years now. I mean, I remember speaking with Rob back in the day when I was in Thailand, and then the times we've spoken with him, and it's always been like, I remember there was a time where Muay Thai, like, how is Muay Thai still viewed in Thailand? I mean, I know it's always like people think it's, you know, it is the mecca of Muay Thai. It is where Muay Thai, you know, comes from. It is this, you know, that is the national sport, and I am a Muay Thai snob and all that type of stuff, and I want to mimic it as much as I can. But then I, you know, people hear.
You want to mimic it except for the working out part.
Exactly, except for the working out part. But I know what I'm saying is I would like American Muay Thai to
do it.
Yeah. I would like it to mimic it, but at the same time, Thailand is very different in the sense that how is it viewed there? How is Muay Thai really viewed there? I mean, I know there's been this issue with the gambling. Was Max a way to get away from the gamblers and all these other shows get away from that? Or how is it seen? Is it still seen as a lower class thing? Like, what's going on with Muay Thai over there?
I feel like Muay Thai is definitely arrived or is pushing into an international stage in the country. So there's, you know, in the provinces in Isan and up north, it's still very much an everyday sort of thing. Yeah. You know, it's not a big deal. There's lots of fights. You know, it's mainly poor people, but in Bangkok and a lot of established cities, there's Muay Thai fitness gyms. So there's a lot of people interested in it for the fitness aspects. And so they are to some extent interested in the fights as well.
Okay.
A lot of the fitness gyms will have like maybe one or two fighters. So those fighters will go have a show and, you know, the fitness members will go see the show or pay attention a bit more. And then because of the sort of Muay Thai as entertainment shows, people are paying attention on a larger scale as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the sport is as popular as soccer, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think that there's a little bit of a resurgence in the popularity of the sport out here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like resurgence, maybe a respect for it. I mean, I know there's
only. I didn't even realize soccer is popular in Thailand.
Yeah, it's big, man.
Soccer is like the only thing people care about.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's super popular. It's popular around the world.
Well, I know that, obviously.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I just didn't know it was popular in Thailand because I never heard of anything from a Thai soccer
team. Well, I know they follow the Premier League a lot, like big time over there. They follow the UK teams.
I'm not sure if the Thai teams are that good or not. I just don't know. I don't really follow football, but it's very, very popular. Like you were saying, they follow a lot of the Premier Leagues and,
I know, because I remember when I was there, like there's like a lot, everyone's wearing like Manchester United shirts or Chelsea or like the big teams from England. They're doing they're following a lot of those teams. But yeah, so that I didn't know. Yeah, I know. I know it's big there. And I remember people were saying that that's what Muay Thai was taking a back seat to. So that still exists, although that is a huge mainstream sport as opposed to Muay Thai. But Muay Thai, that's what I wanted to ask you. And I think you did say it, which was the resurgence of it. The research, because I think there was a time where it was almost like when I was talking to Rob a while back, it was almost like it was sort of like everyone was worried that it was like in a downswing, it was a downswing of or downslope. It was suffering,
Yeah, I would not necessarily say that because now there's like a lot of Muay Thai, especially like I think the future of the sport is going to be more entertainment based because there's basically more money in it.
Yeah,
there's a lot more casual fans than there are gamblers.
Yeah,
and now there's shows like Max that's on every single day of the week. There's MX, there's Super Champ 8, Thai Fight is still around. There's other shows like that. I mean, even One Championship it's an entertainment company.
Yeah.
So I think this sport is growing.
Does One do shows in have they done shows in Thailand or they're only out in Singapore?
No, they do shows basically all over Southeast Asia. They've done a few shows here in Thailand. I went to one like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Who was the premier? Oh, Nong Oh fought this Chinese guy who's really good, but whose name totally slipped my mind. Joe Nadawat fought Sammy Sana for that one, which was a pretty good fight.
Nice. So, one thing I guess was, how are they, now you're saying it's gotten a lot of more international appeal, the sport has, Muay Thai has. Is that, is that how people are seeing it there that now, or is that how, I'm sorry, what I wanted to ask was, for fighters that were once, there was always like a time for a fighter that it was kind of like, oh, it was already time to retire because there was really nothing else they could do for the sport. But has this ability to take it internationally given more longevity to some of these guys?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is without a doubt true because there's a grind to the stadiums that is not there necessarily for a lot of the entertainment shows. Mm-hmm. Like if you are fighting at the stadiums, so you have to do day of weigh-ins and people are cutting like 6 kilos for day of weigh-ins. And they're only walking around at like 140 pounds and they're cutting 12 pounds of weight the weigh-ins. And if you miss, and you have to be on the circuit very, very regularly. If you're out of the fight scene for 2 months, you basically have to start all over. Like really, you're dropped down a bunch.
Yeah.
You take a 3 month break and you basically fucked your career for the year. So you really, really need to be on the circuit very, very regularly. And that is very, very difficult to maintain for a variety of reasons, of course.
Yeah, the punishment, the dieting, I can imagine. Yeah.
All sorts of issues. So, and it peaks out so early. So, a lot of athletes are showing that they can still perform into, their early 30s, mid 30s. Mm-hmm. So, the international fights and the entertainment shows are showing that, like, oh, you can have a bit of a career after you've done some stadium level fighting, or you can have more opportunities abroad, which I think is amazing for a lot of the Thais that have done so much work in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great thing too, because, you know, when you, a couple years ago, I mean, the last time I was in Thailand, well, the first time I went to Thailand, which was 07, I remember it was really like, it's the only thing you really saw was the grind of the stadium circuit. And it was pretty much, that was all there was to it, you know, and once you were out of it, you were out of it, you know, like, it was almost like once some of these guys hit 25, they were already too old for it, or they were done with it, you know. But seeing that, and it is a grind, and seeing that they can extend their careers and there's more opportunities, maybe more money, especially considering where a lot of these guys come from and the poverty that they come from, I think that's great that they have these international opportunities. But, you know, what would you say pays more? I mean, are these larger international events giving them more money, or is the stadium still more money, or is just the stadium just about prestige?
So the stadium pays by far, the stadiums pay by far the most money in Thailand. And then, so like a super high level stadium fighter is making like 120,000 baht, 100,000 baht per fight, which is about $3,000 to $4,000. That's, you know, their purse. Then they might get tip outs from the gamblers, you know, depending. So maybe they're making $5,000 to $6,000 per bout, versus, you know, you fight at a good level international show in Japan, Australia, you're making about that money. You don't have to worry about the gamblers. And then, of course, if you're fighting for ONE, you're making even more money. Mm-hmm. The athletes for ONE are making, you know, legit money now, where they don't necessarily need to be worrying about their day-to-day lives. They can focus on, you know, paying for extra nutrition, or, you know, a specific sports and conditioning coach, all those sort of like supplemental things that you can't get when you're worried about, you know, keeping the lights on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, it seems like definitely Muay Thai has enjoyed that resurgence, as we've said. And I'm actually really happy about that, hearing that from you, you being over there, kind of seeing that, you know, Muay Thai, because I know for a while it was sort of suffering, and there was kind of trying to figure out which way it was going to go in Thailand. One thing I wanted to ask you too is, with the foreigners coming in, and so much foreign influx coming in into the sport of Muay Thai. It used to be, I remember, you know, where Thais would be like, why would you do this? You know, this is something we do to stay out of poverty. Why would you do this shit for fun? You know, and now it's like, there's a lot of foreigners in Thailand, competing and fighting. You know, now that you've lived over there and you've seen them, like, who are the, respected high level foreigners that a lot of Thais, you know, look at, or, you know, I guess, cheer on, or is it still very limited?
I would say it's still pretty limited. There mm-hmm. are some very good foreigners out here. Michael Savas is doing well in the stadium scene. Mateus Gallos is pretty good. Rafi Bohic is really good. I think this kid, Maroon Halal, who fights at Max, should do okay in the future. So there's definitely some talent amongst the foreigners, but it's not that much.
Yeah.
Mainly because the foreigners do not stay that long.
Yeah.
You're not really going to be able to build a career out here if you stay for, you know, 3 months on vacation and have a couple of fights. You know, you're not really going to be able to go anywhere within a circuit.
Yeah.
You know? So it takes a while to build, like, from, say, the Isan level circuit to go to the Max Muay Thai circuit, to move on to the stadiums or stuff like that. Most people are just like not putting in the time. They're coming out here on vacation, having a few fights and going home, and you know, they had one or two fights out here, so they think they're king of the world or queen of the world. And
yeah,
really, they had a few fights, which is awesome, but you know, is whatever.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of like how Eric was, you know, because he went there and
he did
the Anthony Bourdain show. He had like a screened sparring session filmed and they called it a fight on the show.
He had a screened sparring session with a much smaller Thai opponent.
Yeah. You know, Eric lied about his weight by about 40 pounds.
Not at that time. I was 215 at that time, bro.
Oh, come on. You were at least 240. And the whole sparring session was scripted. They told them, you know, they told each one of them what to throw, and then they called it a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my fight in Thailand. Yeah.
And he left Thailand thinking he was king of the world.
Oh, man. That's kind of how it was. Yeah. I beat up on younger Thais like in Chan Wang Stadium, came back and said I was a world champ, you know. Oh, man. All right, Matt. Yeah, so what else are you doing out there, man? You writing any new books soon, you know?
Yeah, so I'm working on a new book.
Vinny says he wants to read the Boxer Soliloquy Part 2.
Oh, yeah. It will be all about Vinny's adventures out here in Thailand come if my time.
Yeah.
It's going to be very action-packed.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. When he gets out there, trust me, you're going to learn how much of a bitch he is when it comes to hot weather.
Yeah,
because I used to tell him like, oh, all you're gonna have is a fan if you go out there and train at a gym. A lot of the gyms just have fans. He's like, no, man, I need AC, man.
Hence the reason I don't live in Florida anymore.
Yeah.
But I am working on a new book project. It's on fighting in Thailand. It's basically I want to make a basic guide to help people stay out here long term.
Cool.
So stuff about the different regions where you can, how much money places are, interviews with long-term fighters. I already have like 6 to 8 done of people that have been out here for a year or more. You know, things like that hopefully will help people stay out here for a long time, because you know, I think there's basically two directions as fighters in America where they can experience genuine growth. It's either by getting involved in IFMA stuff and really racking in the fights that way, or just coming over here and staying long term.
Yeah. I remember when we spoke, Matt, the last time that you were on the podcast, I think you were just about to actually make the move to Thailand. I think this was like 2 or 3 years ago. Like where you were going to do it, make it long term. I guess for everybody that's, you know, listening, you know, what made you decide to jump over there and do that? I know you're still fighting and you're doing, you know, you said you were doing these fights and stuff. Like, what makes you want to continue doing
it? I would say I'm a hobbyist.
Yeah.
I'm basically in the tuk-tuk stages of my fight career. So like, you know, getting paid 2,000 baht for a fight is very, very low level.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you gotta like put things into perspective.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's more of you going out there as. I think it's really interesting because what was the impetus? What was the decision to go out there and continue doing that? And just even if you're fighting at a low level, I mean, is it a love for the sport? Is it wanting to learn more about the culture? I mean, what just drove you to do that?
Well, what did he say in the beginning of the show? Why he's in Bangkok?
Well, because of my lady.
his long-term booty call missed him, so he went back to Thailand. He moved back to Thailand.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
That was it?
To be honest, well, there's definitely that. That is a very, very important factor. And not to downplay it at all. You know, I wanted a more interesting life.
Yeah.
I have never living abroad long term is very difficult, but I think it's really important. And a lot of Americans don't live abroad long term, so they get a bit of a myopic view of life.
Okay, that's true. I believe that. I mean, I've lived all over because of my dad's job many years ago and traveling in the world and stuff. And I really love traveling and staying in one place longer and learning about the culture. But that was it's just interesting for me, for somebody. I mean, I would love to go out there and live in Thailand. And I think we discussed that there was this couple that you were saying, and we would love to get them on the podcast, you know, at some point. But, you know, having kids and doing Muay Thai and stuff is not something that, like, I feel like is a reality, but it looks like there are people that go out there and do that. You know,
I mean, it's like with anything, if you really want to do something, you do it.
Yeah. You commit to it.
You just have to be honest about yourself. Like, hey, I really want to do this or I don't.
Yeah.
Eric's only reality is making excuses.
Yeah, so I think it's more important for Eric to say, I really, really want to make excuses. I don't really actually want to do anything.
Oh, man. See, I made that chat. I made that and I put it out there. And then the one who grabbed it the most was Matt Lucas. And then
you're the idiot that put it on social media that you wanted someone to hold you accountable.
Yeah, but I didn't expect somebody to grab it with stick to it with the the ninja Matt, grip that Matt did.
Matt sacrificed 2 months of his life, and he got nothing in return because of you. I did
daily reminders too. God. I'm serious. Wake up in the morning and be like, oh, okay, did I work out today? Yes, of course I did. Okay, did Eric? I better check.
he was like talking to Siri, like, hey, Siri, remind me to bust Eric's balls at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And it was funny because it would come at the like weirdest repeat times daily. Because it was like on Thailand time. I would get it like at 11 o'clock. Did you work out today? At 11 o'clock at night.
I think my favorite part was when there would be some kind of post, not even your own post, someone else's.
Yeah, I would just comment on somebody that were mutual friends.
That was nowhere related to Muay Thai whatsoever. And you just commented on that post and Matt would reply to your comment to ask you if you trained today. Those were the best.
Yeah. I got it. I feel bad though, because I feel like really
I feel like, you know, at least I accomplished something there.
No, because I did feel bad. Like, I was like, dude, this guy's really, really pushing me to do it, man. And, you know, and I want to do it, but I'm making too many excuses. I do admit that here for everyone to listen to. I should definitely. Yesterday, I sent Vinny a picture of eating pizza at Sbarro, man.
Yeah.
You know, this asshole ate Big ZD.
I didn't eat
a mall pizzeria.
You know how offensive that is to Vinny to eat baked ziti at a mall pizzeria?
Brings us back to your assholeness.
Yeah. Undebatable. That's not debatable.
Yeah.
Hey, how are the fighters at your gym doing, Vinny?
Which ones? I don't have anybody who's currently active.
Oh, Julian.
Now, Julian was actually supposed to fight at the Muay Thai Super Series East, which is next weekend.
Charlie and Kate.
Yeah, Charlie's show. Yeah. And his original. Like, what?
That, it seems like a great, great
thing. Yeah, yeah. He was like, supposed to fight there, and his original opponent pulled out. I don't know who he was, but from what I hear, it was an MMA gym, which makes sense. And we couldn't find a replacement, so that's pretty much that's it for that.
What about Lazy Abel?
I thought that was my nickname, man. Shit.
Yeah, it is actually. No, I have nothing lined up for him right now.
Is he gonna listen to this podcast?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He might be too lazy to listen.
Vinny's now going to make him listen to it, probably.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's – I mean, I don't have anything else lined up at the moment.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm kind of sitting back. I Abel's last fight kind of I don't really care, you know. What?
You got mad about it. You got mad at the spring or something.
I didn't necessarily I posted something on social media when I was kind of annoyed. Yeah. And me not being the most fantastic writer in the world, things don't always come out the right way. Yeah. So whatever when I posted, I deleted it because my rant was not necessarily about the decision. It wasn't, you know, about the win or the loss. I don't really care. My rant was more about the way things are scored and judged here in the United States. And yeah. I go based off of I like the IFMA style and the style that, you know, the USMF is trying to push. And that's what I try to pay attention to more than anything. And what happened was Abel got dropped in the first round. Mm-hmm. And right there, that's an automatic 10-8 round, which to me is ridiculous because I don't think Abel won that round, but he got back up from with the 8 count. He popped back up and he started fighting. He didn't get beat up the rest of the round. He may have lost it, but he didn't get anything that warranted a 10-8 round, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And now what happens is when it's a 10-8 round in a three round fight, that's it. You're done.
Yeah,
so then the rest of the fight, you're fighting for the knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, that makes for a shitty fight. It just makes for a messy brawl.
Yeah.
And now I'm not saying that and just to be clear, if it was a 10-9 round, I'm not saying Abel would have won that fight. Mm-hmm. He still could have lost it. But that's not the point behind what I said. The point was I just don't like the system that we're stuck with. I mean, one of the biggest sanctioning organizations in New York right now is the US MMA Federation. Why the fuck are they sanctioning Muay Thai?
Yeah. I think for people that are not familiar with the scoring of IFMA and USMF style, if you do get a count, it's basically like a 1 point deduction. It's like you just got hit hard. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, it does not necessarily mean that you're going to lose the entire fight.
Especially... The knockdown that happened was literally 3 seconds into the round. Bell rang. They touched gloves. Kid threw a jumping Sanchai teep to the face, dropped him, got back up. They fought the rest of the round like, you know.
So it was more like a flash knockdown really than a.
I mean, it hurt him.
Yeah.
Like he dropped, but he got right back up. It's not like he sat on the ground.
That's always been an issue with like a 3 round fight. Cause if you get a 10-8 round in a 3 round fight, it's like, you're fucked. Over. You know, you just gotta, it's like you start fighting. You, like you said, you fight for the knockout and it does turn into like a brawl. That's pretty much it. Technique goes up.
So that was the only point is I just don't like it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I think
I'm not take anything away from anyone.
Yeah. Matt, so when you were, for the last question, you were here in New York. Were you just in New York or did you were traveling around a bit?
So I have family in Philadelphia. So I went out and saw my family for the first time in like 3 years and, spent some time with them. And then I have friends, like Vinny in New York that I wanted to see. Also Brett Halvichak.
A term you should use very loosely.
I would not say, I would say you are my friend. I would not say Eric is my friend.
as you said, you had family. Were they happy to see you? I mean, 3 years, you know.
I'm going to neither confirm nor deny that.
You do a lot of that, huh?
Well, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I do not know if they were happy to see me or not.
They're just like, oh, shit, he's here, man. What the fuck?
Yeah. I was definitely there, though.
Yeah. So besides, you were able to, you know, when you were here, were you able to hit up a lot of different gyms or go to any shows? Is that where you were? I know were at Spinney's.
I got to see the Triumph show in Madison Square Garden, which was really fun. I got to go to some gyms in Philadelphia, Kate Catone's place, Justin Gretzkowitz's place, and in New York City, Staten Island Muay Thai, Rebel. I got to go to Five Points. Where else did I actually train at? I trained at like the dojo, which is where Brett Halvachek is teaching. And then I stopped by a bunch of other places, Koban's, the Watt. Oh, I worked out at the Watt. Most of the places in New York City, I tried to, you know, stop in at and at least take a look.
Cool. Very cool.
And talk shit about it after the fact.
Do it. That's smashing my keyboard, talking shit on people.
Keyboard warrior over here. But
so, what did you think of all the decisions and scoring at the Triumph show?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't watch all of them, so I could not say as a whole. I felt that there were some good fights. Julian performed well. I thought the main event, Nathan Ward versus Charlie, was a really great fight. It was really entertaining.
I'm talking about from your point of view of the scoring and judging.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like, you know, the main problem with America is that it's inconsistent.
Yep.
It's like when you have consistent judging, you develop like a style of fighters that play to those strengths.
Sorry to interrupt, but would you say the inconsistency of the judging, let's say at a Triumph, that from the fights that you saw, would you say it was as the inconsistency was as a event? The event as a whole, or was it inconsistency from fight to fight?
Yeah, I would say, you know, even from fight to fight, it can be inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, usually with judging, at least you want there to be like a basically 1 point deviation between people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the three of us, if we're judging about, you know, there should be basically a 1 point deviation between the three of us. So like, you know, Vinny scores something, 30-27, then I should be 29-28, and you should be 30-27 or 29-28 as well.
Yeah.
So there's only like a small deviation between us. If Vinny is 30-27 and I am like 27-30 for the other person, or, you know, 28-28, that's like the deviation is too big, and it's fucking shit up.
Which you see a lot, you know, like one guy has it 30-27 for one guy and then 30-27 for the opposite guy. That's like, how does that happen? How do you have it unanimous for the other guy?
Yeah. Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. And it, you know, it fucked. Then the fighters don't know how to fight, which is like, that's a huge problem. It's like you put in all this time and effort, you go out there, you perform, and then it's a total crapshoot about who wins and who loses. Yeah. You know, like, how are you supposed to grow as a fighter when it's like, oh, I performed, I did all this stuff, and then I don't actually know how I really did. My coach says one thing, you know, the promotion says another, you know, who am I to believe?
Yeah.
You know, and then Facebook says something totally different.
Yeah, exactly. No. And I think that's been always the issue, because the issue there is that I think for here in the States where there's so many people that are not exactly deciding to do this as a career, or they're just trying to get into it, you can easily destroy their, you know, their desire to keep doing this if they busted their ass, and then for a shitty decision, they're like, they're just like, if they go through like two or three shitty decisions, then they're like, oh, that's it, man. I'm not even going to try this anymore. You know,
they're like, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not up to me. You know, I can do all the hard work in the world, you know? You know,
I totally understand that. That is like 100% understandable.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, why play in like a rigged, fucked up game?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. Well, Matt, as always, it's a pleasure. And I say that with the utmost sincerity.
It's more pleasure for me than probably you.
Yeah. It's definitely pleasurable for me to see Vinny, because we're doing some video talking here, and to talk to him. You know, Eric, as usual, I've learned that you're here to disappoint. And I guess the silver lining is you fulfilled that. You disappointed me.
Oh, okay. Well, well, I'm glad to have disappointed you, my friend. I'll try to work harder. Actually, I'm going to go right now and go for a run just to make you proud.
part of the screenshot or something for this episode, will you take a picture of you running?
Probably will, yeah. It might be from 2 years ago, but I will.
Come on, man. You weren't running 2 years ago. You know that.
You weren't even doing it then, you fucking liar.
More like 10.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, Matt, it was a pleasure to talk to you, man, to connect with you again. Also to I think it's really interesting to get your insight, especially from somebody who's working out there and seeing Muay Thai, I guess from an American point of view, but also looking out there, like what Muay Thai is from a foreign perspective, and giving us that sort of that explanation, which is really good for a lot of people that are interested in understanding how we're doing as a country, Muay Thai is doing as a country in America, how we're growing it, are we growing it effectively, what do we have to do? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily anymore that we have to be on par with the Thais, you know, guess kick for kick or punch for punch, but it's basically we want to make sure we can compete, though, you know, and that's where I think, like you were saying, we're still a little bit mid-tier there in some places, but we're almost there, and we're getting there little by little, and I think we have coaches here that are good enough, and I think you can attest to that, Matt. We have coaches that are great, that are doing some great stuff. We have definitely great people behind organizations like the USMF that are doing everything they can to make sure that Muay Thai grows correctly, although we're going to have hiccups like we continue to do with organizations being inconsistent and things like that. But overall, it's, you know, we've been at this for what, many years, and it's still baby steps. It's still working little by little, but I think we're seeing things, you know?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing positive growth. And there's more people into it, more people fighting. Things are definitely, you know, it's going well. It's going slow, but it's going well. And, you know, a shout out to you guys for keeping the podcast going for so long. You know, I know you guys can sometimes take breaks, but, you know, it's important to have things like this podcast and, you know, have people talking about the sport.
Whose fault do you think it is that we take breaks?
I know whose fault it is. Vinny, I'm just going to say it is not your fault.
Oh, man. Fuck, dude.
It's important to do things like this. It's important to, you know, go to your local shows, to do media stuff, to do all these things to support the sport. Because this is the infrastructure of the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So, Matt, where can people find you at?
Yeah, so I'm very active on Instagram. I'm doing a portrait project there, Matt Lucas BKK. I also have a website, which is basically a resume. I keep all my articles on there. And that is matt-lucas.com. So you can check me out there as well. And then, as I said, I'm the social media manager for Fairtex, which is a great international gym in Pattaya. Come and train, see the world. Mm-hmm. And then Max Muay Thai, which has very, very exciting fights every night of the week. Definitely come down if you're in the area or watch it streaming online.
Okay. Where can they catch Max Muay Thai and for Fairtex? Do you guys have, you know, the website, social media? What is the social media for Fairtex? Is it just Fairtex?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Fairtex Patia or Fairtex Training Center on Instagram. And then we have a page as well. Okay. And then Max Muay Thai is on Instagram is Max Muay Thai period TH, I believe.
Yeah.
Both are pretty easy to find.
Okay. Gotcha.
Awesome. So,
and who are, I guess just to, you know, give you your props and everything. I know you're writing for different places, different publications. Which are the ones that you've been writing for?
Right now I am doing a lot of PR for the USMF, which is really awesome because it gets me, to see and talk to a lot of the athletes. That is the main one right now. I was working for, I worked for Vice last year, and then they folded Fightland, and then I was working for, I can't believe I'm spacing on the name already.
Were you doing Rough Asia. Yeah, that's the one I was going to say.
And they've changed directions as well.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. But so basically, but for your articles and stuff, to go to matt-lucas.com, are you keeping your stuff there?
Yep, I keep an update there, and so anything I've published is on there.
Yeah. All right, guys. So for you guys that are, you know, listening to the podcast, please follow Matt Lucas at mattlucasbkk. We may give each other shit, but he's a great writer. I definitely do love his stuff. He's written some great stuff for Fightland, for Rough Asia, for the USMF. He's doing a lot of great stuff for Muay Thai out there in Bangkok, you know, right there on the front lines and just checking out, giving us all great Muay Thai information. So make sure you follow him. Matt, we appreciate having you on the show, man. You know, thanks for the support.
Thank you for having me out here. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. I'll be nice to you for the closing.
At least for 5 minutes, Matt. You know, you can go back to
5 minutes might be a little long. 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know that there's going to be a lot of shit talking. As soon as I get off this podcast, there's probably going to be a lot of shit talking on social media. Like, hey, I was on the Striking Corner with Vinny Scotto. Great talk. Not even mentioning my name. Oh man,
it should be.
All right, man. But definitely.
But thank you guys again for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. It's always good to talk to you. So we'll talk to you again soon, man.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
All right. You too. Muay Thai Hu Chi Yu. All right. So that was our good friend, Matt Lucas, all the way from Bangkok. We really appreciate him stepping in, being a clutch player, doing it when one of our other guests unfortunately drop out. But awesome to talk to him. His wealth of knowledge being out there, giving us the I guess the American, the foreign perspective on the growth of Muay Thai in America as related to his experiences currently in Thailand. Really, guys, I mean, we bust each other's balls and all that type of shit. But Matt has been a great guy for a while now that I've known him. He has been a good dude. So he's definitely somebody.
I don't think he says the same about you.
I know he doesn't, man. But you know what? But you know what? I like to take the high road, you know? So anyway, guys, once again, thanks to Matt Lucas for joining us in that episode. I hope you guys took away some great stuff from it. We actually have another guest coming in 2 weeks, which I think will tie in very well to this episode with Matt Lucas. So definitely stay tuned for that one, guys. All right. Without further ado, I think really just once again, our social media, Striking Corner, at Striking Corner on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and our website, strikingcorner.com. Once again, I am Eric Rivera. You can catch me on Instagram at Eric_Rivera_TSC. And Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
You can, like I said earlier, join me in my quest for 10,000 followers on Instagram, which is at Vinny Scotto.
All right, guys. So once again, really appreciate you guys supporting the podcast and just being a part of this journey as we grow Muay Thai in America. Listen, we love doing this thing, and we're going to keep it up as long as we can, and Vinny will hold me to that. So that's it, you know, guys. I just really appreciate the support and the stuff that a lot of you guys, you know, tune in and then write us and tell us that you're fans. It's a big deal for us. So thank you for continuing to help us out, man, and just be part of this, just grow the sport. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't do it either. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.